You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
One of the most embarrassing and revealing scandals in Mormon history is the story of the missing 116 pages of the original Book of Mormon manuscript. Now, a Mormon wouldn't say that this is a scandal. They wouldn't say that this is embarrassing. A Mormon would say, because of Mormon scripture, because of the Book of Mormon itself and Doctrine and Covenants and some of the revelations that Joseph Smith received, in fact, the very first revelation he received because of all these revelations, believing Mormons don't view this as a scandal. But I want to explain this to you because to me, this is so fascinating. And the more I studied this, the more fascinating it became. This event that I'm going to be uncovering in today's episode not only highlights the human invention at the heart of Mormon origins, but it also shows how Joseph Smith used convenient revelations to cover his tracks. And I believe, and this is just my theory, but I believe it opened the door for Joseph Smith to rewrite or start his own translation of the Bible itself. Now, maybe you've heard of this, the missing 116 pages. Maybe you've heard of this because of the South Park episode that famously mocked this story. And we'll get to all of this because, again, this is such an interesting incident. Let's talk about the missing 116 pages in the Book of Mormon. The year was 1828. Joseph Smith, that's when he started dictating what he claimed was a divine translation of ancient golden plates, which today we know as the Book of Mormon. His scribe at the time was a guy by the name of Martin Harris. Now, Harris faced skepticism from some of his friends and more famously from his wife. And so he begged Joseph Smith to take the manuscript home to prove the work's authenticity. Now, it wasn't completed yet. The translation project was only up to page 116. But what they had so far, Harris was like, please let me take it home. I want to show my wife. I want to prove that it's reliable and it's true. And the South Park episode, if you've ever seen that, depicts Harris's wife as the only smart one in the whole story, saying, this is a fake. Smith is a fraud. And so anyway, I think Martin Harris was starting to wonder himself. Now, Joseph Smith claimed to receive divine permission eventually, but initially God told him no two times, but eventually God said, okay, fine. And so Smith let him have the 116 pages. Now, all we know for sure is that those first 116 pages were never recovered. So that's the beginning of the story. But the question is, the problem is, Joseph Smith now had an issue, obviously. Now, for me, as a non-believer, that issue was, well, if the original 116 pages were now in the possession of potentially Harris's wife or someone else, a critic, what would happen if Smith continued the translation, just went in and retranslated those first 116 pages? What would happen if he were to do that and then later on, Harris's wife or somebody else produced the original 116 pages and obviously showed that they didn't match up? Then Smith would be, well, he would be exposed as a fraud. That was the issue. That was the problem. Remember, Smith had said that this translation was done by the, quote, gift and power of God. So if that's the case, then shouldn't it have produced the same result word for word no matter what? I mean, couldn't God, a good, benevolent, sovereign God, if it really was a true translation, then couldn't he have just done the translation over again by the gift and power of God? And those two transcripts, 116 pages, would just match up word for word. Seems pretty obvious. Why would God, all-powerful and sovereign, allow humans to thwart the process? Really, if you think about it, this would just prove that Joseph Smith was right, if he really was a prophet of God, and if this really was a translation by the gift and power of God. So again, from my perspective, that seems obvious, that if this really was from God, it would only bolster Smith's claim to be a prophet. In my mind, a true prophet of God would have said, no problem. I'll translate them again by the gift and power of God. Give me those manuscripts, or hang on to those manuscripts even, and let's go ahead and reproduce those 116 pages. And it would just prove even more that Joseph Smith really is a prophet of God. But here's the problem. And to a non-Mormon, or to a thinking person, or to a skeptic, it seems obvious. The problem is that if Joseph Smith wasn't really translating the true plates of Moroni, or whatever they were called, if it wasn't really happening by the gift and power of God, if Joseph Smith was just a con man trying to write a book that could sell a lot of copies and make him a lot of money, whatever else, right? If, I mean, really, whatever his motivation was, bottom line is, if it wasn't really from God himself, then Joseph Smith was definitely in a pickle. And here's how I imagine that it happened. I think Smith paused for a couple of months and really had to think through, how am I going to get out of this? I mean, this is at the very beginning of Mormonism. The Book of Mormon wasn't even published yet. This was in 1828. The Book of Mormon wasn't published until 1830, 2 years later. So Smith was in a pickle, and he had to figure out how to work around this problem. And here's how he did it. In fact, I'm going to read directly out of the preface to the 1830 edition of the Book of Mormon, because in the preface, Smith actually writes about the lost 116 pages. Now, this preface isn't in the newest version of the Book of Mormon. I'm not really sure if the Mormon Church kind of hides this, or if it's okay. I'm not really sure. In fact, maybe you can comment on this and let me know what you think about that. If you are a Mormon, or if you know the answer to this, go ahead and comment on this podcast episode. But this is how it reads in the preface to the 1830 edition of the Book of Mormon. In Smith's own words, "I translated by the gift and power of God and caused to be written 116 pages, the which I took from the Book of Lehi, which was an account abridged from the plates of Lehi by the hand of Mormon, which said account some person or persons have stolen," he's talking about Martin Harris, "and kept from me, notwithstanding my utmost exertions to recover it again." Let me pause and explain what he's saying so far. So he said that the original 116 pages were taken from the Book of Lehi. So keep that in mind. It's called the Book of Lehi. And it was taken, it was stolen from him, and he tried to get it back, but he couldn't. And so he continues in his preface, "And being commanded of the Lord that I should not translate the same over again." So see what Smith is doing here in the preface. He's saying, God told me not to translate from the Book of Lehi again. Back to the preface, he says, "For Satan had put it into their hearts to tempt the Lord their God by altering the words that they did read contrary from that which I translated and caused to be written." So do you see what Smith did there? This is how he got out of the pickle. And it's actually super clever. Here's what Smith is saying. He's saying, the reason God didn't want me to translate from the Book of Lehi again is because these people who stole it are going to alter those words in the original 116 pages. So Smith isn't going to alter them, but no, these perpetrators are going to alter those words and try to expose me as a fraud, but I'm not the fraud because they're the ones who are going to alter the words, not me. Do you see what Smith did here? He continues, "And if I should bring forth the same words again," or in other words, if I should translate the same over again, the Book of Lehi, "they would publish that which they had stolen, and Satan would stir up the hearts of this generation that they might not receive this work. But behold, the Lord said unto me," remember this is a revelation, "I will not suffer that Satan shall accomplish his evil design in this thing. Therefore," so here's the solution. So are you tracking with me here? If you're a Mormon or have Mormon background, I think you understand this, but of course, you don't probably understand this skeptically because you know about this story. You know about these 116 pages. I think you know about these 116 pages. But just think about this from a logical point of view, from a skeptical point of view, from the point of view that Joseph Smith, and we know this if you've been listening to this podcast, that Joseph Smith is actually a con man. This was like one of his biggest cons, and it turns out he's going to get away with it. And I'll tell you here by the end of this episode what I believe that it emboldened him to do with the Bible once he got away with this con. But what he's doing is he's making Martin Harris and his wife, he's making them the bad guys, saying they're going to alter what was originally written in the 116 pages to make me look bad, to expose me. So here's how God is going to get around this, says Joseph Smith. He said, therefore, thou shalt translate from the plates of Nephi. So not from the book of Lehi, but from the plates of Nephi, until ye come to that which ye have translated, which ye have retained. And behold, ye shall publish it as a record of Nephi, not of Lehi, but as Nephi. And I'll explain all these names in just a second. And thus I will confound those who have altered my words. I will not suffer that they shall destroy my work. Now, let me explain the difference between the Book of Lehi, also known as the large plates of Nephi, and then the small plates of Nephi. These were supposedly, allegedly, two records written by Nephi. The first record, the large plates, were more political and historical. Mormon, by the way, had abridged these plates. So they were Lehi's plates, and Nephi was Lehi's son, and then Mormon abridged those plates. The large plates of Lehi, or the large plates of Nephi, which is called the Book of Lehi, this was supposedly then the source document for the original 116 pages that were lost. But God said, instead, why don't you use the small plates of Nephi, which are similar but more spiritual, less political and historical. They're more spiritual teachings, and those are actually the plates that were the source for what we now have in today's Book of Mormon. So crisis averted, and God foresaw this crisis hundreds of years earlier because he knew that this kind of thing was going to happen. So this, of course, is the revelation that was given to Joseph Smith, which is outlined for us more further in Doctrine and Covenants, which is more scripture, considered to be scripture by the Mormons. So if you want to look this up for yourself, and I encourage you to read this for yourself if you're interested. Again, if you have a Mormon background, you probably already know this. But for those of you who are just trying to understand Mormonism, maybe you're trying to share this kind of insight with a Mormon friend or neighbor, go read Section 3 of Doctrine and Covenants, and also Section 10 of Doctrine and Covenants. In the summary of Section 3, it says this: a revelation given to Joseph Smith by the prophet at Harmony, Pennsylvania, July 1828, relating to the loss of 116 pages of manuscript translated from the first part of the Book of Mormon, which was called the Book of Lehi. The prophet had reluctantly allowed these pages to pass from his custody to that of Martin Harris, who had served for a brief period as scribe in the translation of the Book of Mormon. And so if you go on and read the actual text of this revelation, you'll see that God is basically telling Joseph Smith that he shouldn't have given those original 116 pages, and so he's not going to be able to translate for a period of time. Now, again, as a skeptic, I think that that was a period of time where Joseph Smith was trying to figure out how to get out of the pickle, but that's just my theory. The more interesting section of Doctrine and Covenants as it relates to this particular scandal is in Section 10, and here's what the intro says in D&C 10. Revelation given to Joseph Smith the prophet at Harmony, Pennsylvania, likely around April 1829. Okay, so D&C 3 was July 28. This is likely April 1829, though it says portions may have been received as early as the summer of 1828. And here's the interesting part. Herein, the Lord informs Joseph of alterations made by wicked men in the 116 manuscript pages, from the translation of the Book of Lehi in the Book of Mormon. So this is the revelation given to Joseph Smith, where God is telling Joseph Smith, hey, these guys are altering those original 116 pages. See, so the Martin Harris or his wife or whomever else, they're the bad guys. Joseph Smith's not the bad guy. They're the bad guys. He goes on to say this. These manuscript pages had been lost from the possession of Martin Harris, to whom the sheets had been temporarily entrusted. The evil design was to await the expected retranslation of the matter covered by the stolen pages, and then to discredit the translator by showing discrepancies created by the alterations. Here's the interesting part. That this wicked purpose had been conceived by the evil one and was known to the Lord even while Mormon, the ancient Nephite historian, was making his abridgment of the accumulated plates, both the large plate and the small plates, presumably, is shown in the Book of Mormon, Words of Mormon, chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. So look, this is so interesting. This was written into the scriptures, to both the Book of Mormon and to Doctrine and Covenants. And essentially what this is saying is that God knew that this would happen. God foresaw that this would happen. And that's why he gave not just the Book of Lehi, but he also gave the Book of Nephi, so that Satan's attempt to discredit Joseph Smith would be thwarted. So let me read some of those verses. D&C 10, verse 40, it says, "And now, because the account which is engraven upon the plates of Nephi is more particular concerning the things which, in my wisdom, I would bring to the knowledge of the people in this account, therefore you shall translate the engravings which are on the plates of Nephi down even until you come to the reign of King Benjamin. And behold," verse 42, "you shall publish it as the record of Nephi, and thus I will confound those who have altered my words." And I want you to just pause for a second. And again, if you're a faithful Mormon, this is an episode that is probably really, really difficult to listen to, because I think you already have an understanding of these 116 pages. And it's really hard, I think, when there's already like a pool of meaning for you. There's already an understanding that you have as a Mormon, probably since you were a young child as a Mormon. It's so hard to view a story like this from a different perspective. But I'm going to challenge you to view this from a different perspective. What if Joseph Smith is actually just lying? What if this prophet of this new religion was caught and was almost going to be exposed until he figured out how to not just get around this, but and somehow bury the story, but more than that, he actually built this into the origin story of the Book of Mormon, of Mormonism itself. I think if you really take the whole of the life of Joseph Smith and how much he changed and altered and how much lying he did, consider the, you know, taking on these wives, this polygamous thing that he started that Mormonism covered up for decades and decades, until finally now they admit that he did have multiple wives. And this is, of course, one of those things that cracked Mormonism of 10, 20 years ago when they finally admitted this in the Gospel Topics essays. Just take the whole of Joseph Smith's teachings in his life. And if you really honestly consider his life, I think it's hard to think that this really was a revelation from God. I think it is so much more likely that this was yet another con of Joseph Smith, maybe even the foundational con that set him on the path to retranslate the Bible itself. Think about this. Once Joseph Smith got away with explaining the loss of the 116 pages by appealing to divine revelation and an alternative source, think about this. Here's my theory now. I think that he felt emboldened to apply the same strategy to the Bible. I think that he realized that he could offer restorations, that he could offer new material under the claim of divine authority. I think when he saw that this worked for the Book of Mormon, I think it wasn't very long after that he started his work on the Joseph Smith translation. Now, the reason for this is because Smith claimed, just like he did with the 116 pages, that he said that these perpetrators, these thieves, we're going to alter the words. He essentially said that's exactly what happened with the Bible, is that translators or apostate church leaders through history corrupted the Bible over the time, just like those lost 116 pages were tampered with. Joseph Smith said the Bible was tampered with. And just like Smith was authorized to restore the original 116 pages of the Book of Mormon, so in the same way, he was authorized to restore the original text of the Bible by revelation. So he sits down and he starts writing the JST, the Joseph Smith translation, which contains new verses. In fact, it contains a prophecy about Joseph Smith in Genesis. Let me give you that verse. That's from Genesis 50, verses 33 to 36. The JST reads like this: "A seer shall the Lord my God raise up, who shall be a choice seer unto the fruit of my loins, and his name shall be called Joseph, and it shall be after the name of his father." So this passage, according to Joseph Smith, predicts that he, this Latter-day prophet, Joseph, is right there in Genesis chapter 15. And Smith didn't stop there. He actually expanded sections of Genesis in his translation into what are now known as the Book of Moses. It's part of the Pearl of Great Price. And it includes things like a detailed creation account. It includes new information about Satan's rebellion. It includes the story of Enoch, who builds a righteous city taken to heaven. None of these things are in the Bible. This translation also adjusts wording in the New Testament to align more closely with LDS doctrine. And why not? Joseph Smith realized that he could just rewrite scripture and people would buy it. And so this concept of him being the revelator, that God would reveal this stuff to him, and it was more accurate than anything that they had in print, this is what Joseph Smith learned through the 116 Lost Pages episode. Now, what's a biblical response to all of this? Here's how I want to expand what I've said before on this podcast, the biblical response to the Mormon claim that the Bible can't be trusted, right? So Mormons are taught to read the Bible with an asterisk. They don't really fully trust the Bible because they don't know if it's been translated correctly. Well, here's my response to that as a biblical Christian. And I want to say this not only to Christians out there, but to some of you who are Mormons who are kind of on the fence, and maybe you've been listening to some of these episodes and you've got an open heart toward this, and you really want to know the truth about this. I know that the missing 116 pages incident isn't discussed in LDS circles very much today because it undermines the claim of divine authenticity. So some of this stuff might have been new to some of you listening to this, even if you are still attending the Mormon church today. But I want you to hear this. I believe that God never needed backups. I believe, and evangelical Christians believe, that God is sovereign and that God's sovereign hand preserved the translation of the Bible through centuries of faithful transmission. We believe that not only is God's word the inspired word of God, but that the process by which that translation was transmitted to us so that we have it today and we can trust in it today, that that process wasn't, I wouldn't call it inspired by God, but I would say that that process was superintended by God. I believe in a God who is powerful enough to preserve his word. Isaiah 40 says God's word stands forever. Matthew 24 says that his words will never pass away. Psalm 12 says that God protects his word from corruption. So the Bible is so different from the Book of Mormon. In my mind, the missing 116 pages reveals the human fingerprints all over Mormonism's origins. I think it disproves the Book of Mormon. It doesn't prove the Book of Mormon. It disproves the Book of Mormon. And I actually think it sheds light on the Bible's authenticity, because the Bible alone stands as the tested, preserved, and trustworthy word of God. The Bible doesn't need patches. The Bible doesn't need do-overs. So do your own research on the missing 116 pages of the Book of Mormon and see if it doesn't lead you to trust more fully in the Bible as the only scripture for faithful followers of Jesus throughout time.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to give to help support our ministry, please visit pursuegod.org/donate. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.